Optimize screen sharing as your computer snow. All right. So that's not full screen, huh?
No.
Wow. What's going on? Because you know, like that's edge to edge. You're on my screen. That's what I'm, this is the way I've always done it before.
Well, we can see it.
I can bigger on my side.
Yeah, if everybody goes to view options up in the top of your menu, there's a drop down. And if you go to zoom ratio, then you can choose a bigger size and that'll help make it bigger on your screen at least.
That's as big as I can make it on mine.
I did start the recording just so everybody knows.
All right.
If you double click on the agenda, it should make it larger on your iPad too.
Okay. All right, very good. Everybody ready? All right, a very good evening to you, and I will call to order the September 21st meeting of Orrville City Council, and we will begin this evening in prayer, and we'll begin with Pastor Mike Bone from the Christ United Church of Christ. Pastor?
Thank you, Paul. Let's be in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this community that houses and nurtures, sustains, and provides a living for so many people. Thank you for these who are stewards of this community, who care for the things most people don't even think about. But because they do their work, we don't have to think about them. I pray your grace of wisdom, discernment, and care upon them tonight. Bless each of us with your peace, we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. We very much appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, very good. We will now turn to the Pledge of Allegiance. Do we have that? There it is. Okay. Got to find it here on my screen. Very good. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. All right, if the clerk will call the roll.
Handwerk?
Here.
Asparis?
Here.
Lorson?
Here.
Mosley?
Here.
Foy?
Here.
Widmer?
Here.
Wilson?
Here.
All present.
Thank you very much. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening, so we will move on to our administrative reports, and we begin on our agenda is our standing committee reports. My apologies. And so we will begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee and C.J. Handwerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec Committee has not met. We do have a meeting scheduled for next week at 6:45. I apologize for any confusion I may have caused with the new Gmail system, my new phone, but we are going to meet next week. I should note, pickleball courts are in. Fencing is installed. The coating will be applied soon. We have to wait a certain time frame for that. I'm just mentioning that because I don't know if Mr. Wheeler will get to that tonight. Last thing I have is we do continue to work on the parks, and I think we're making some huge headway with the look and the maintenance of the parks. And hopefully folks will stay tuned to our Facebook page regarding some fall information we'll have coming up soon. So that's all I have.
Well, thank you very much. And you've had a couple of work days there.
and have made some improvements just with you and your family and with the help and involvement of the community, and we all very much appreciate that. So thanks so much. All right, and then we'll move on then to our Utilities Committee and Carrie Foy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities Committee has not met, so I have no report tonight.
All right, thank you very much. And then our Transportation Committee and Daryl Mosley. Daryl. You're muted, sir.
There you go. Sorry, Mr. President, I'm looking at the ordinance personnel. But I'll go. Transportation Committee met on 9/14, which was last Monday at 6:45. At that meeting, our committee gave administration 3 items to look into and provide our committee with professional and unbiased opinions in 3 different areas. Those 3 areas was obviously the possibility of a one-way turn during restricted hours in the school zone in an area of concern there. The second one is obviously addressing side-by-sides. I have directed a few people that I was concerned about side-by-sides to Mr. Wheeler, so they will be making contact at some point with administration to kind of explain the side-by-sides and their parts and their concerns. And then obviously the last item that we gave to them to look into is also a neighborhood speed awareness program aimed at attempting to address citizens, elected officials, or also observe speed in areas of concern throughout our community. And then is Mr. Wheeler, is he here?
Not yet. He expects to phone in here, maybe around 8 o'clock, but Janet Strimlin here, she may be able to answer, or Janet Strimlin, I'm sorry, Kristen Inslee. That's embarrassing, my brain sometimes, but anyway, Kristen is here, and she can do her best to help with some questions, but we may need to wait until Steve is, and that's fine.
Okay, yep, that's fine. So we just have those 3 things that administration, they said it shouldn't be any issue with getting back with us somewhere around the 15th of next month. So about that time is when I plan to have another committee meeting. And with that is all I have, Mr. President. Thank you.
All right, very good. So you said you think October 15th may be a committee meeting?
Yes, somewhere around that time.
Yep.
Administration is pretty confident they'll be able to get back with us with those 3 items, but I kind of want to leave it open to make sure they're fully prepared and everything, if that's all right with you.
Oh, sure, yeah. So those Mondays we've got, the 12th is open, and the 26th of October.
Okay, all right.
You have 2 days to look at. So.
All right, okay. Then one other, I have a quick update with the OPWC grant funding for the streets. Tomorrow, they plan to start the paving of the surface on Crown Hill, South Elm, and South Walnut. Then obviously on Wednesday, they should be starting the paving phase on Smucker Road and North Vine. And then obviously the week of the 28th is when they're going to actually start doing repairs on Main Street. And then at the beginning of October is when we're going to be looking to finish the entire OPWC grant-funded repairs, and that's going to end up finishing on West Chestnut Street. Obviously, this is all weather pending, so if weather does not go our way, it could be delayed a little bit. But right now, they're doing a really good job at staying on schedule. I know Dan, our engineer, is busy every single day at these different job sites. With that, I have nothing else, Mr. President. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions there? All right. We will move on then to our Health and Safety Committee and Rita Spiras.
Mr. President.
Spiras. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
You did miss Ordinance and Personnel.
I sure did. Thank you for keeping me on track there. So our Ordinance and Personnel Committee and John Larson. John.
Thank you, Mr. President. I imagine that you would have gotten around to me at some point anyway. My committee has not met, and I have no report.
All right. Thanks so much.
Opportunity to tell you that.
All right. Now we'll move on to our Health and Safety Committee, and Rick Aspiris. Rick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety did meet. We met right after transportation, so that was Monday the 14th. Our topic of discussion was the fire truck fund. To summarize, the discussion was on a recommendation we received to change the language and what we had currently passed. And the change will allow those funds to be controlled more at the city level, and so that it's within city council's hands and not out of our hands. And that was the decision that we made. So at this point, I do expect sometime here in the near future for new legislation to be drafted, and we will rescind the current one that was passed in July. But that concludes my report, unless there are any questions.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. We'll move on now to our planning committee, Lisa Whitmer. Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. President. Planning committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right, thank you. And then finally, our finance committee and Travis Wilson. Travis, how are you?
Good. Thank you, Mr. President. Finance committee has not met, so I have no report.
All right, thank you, sir. No special committee reports tonight, and so now we will move on to our administrative reports, and we begin with Mayor Handwerk. Mayor, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Mr. President. Not a lot for me to add tonight, but I would want to just add a little bit on to Councilman Mosley's report. We have had some excellent weather. As you all know, we don't always get this when we've got projects we're trying to get finished. And so these last couple weeks where we've had, like this past week, just day after day of nice weather, it really helps. When they get to the Main Street part that Councilman Mosley was talking about, just to remind people, that's basically warranty work that we have being done from the project that was done last year. So even though it might be some inconvenience for somebody, they'll still maintain traffic, but one lane may be shut down while they're working on certain areas. But keep in mind, that's things that are being done that ODOT was not satisfied with the contractor's job. So it's just nothing but improving our project. So we're glad to let them do that one. But yeah, a lot of projects are going on. A lot of things are getting ramped up. As Councilman Handwerk mentioned, the pickleball court will start to really look like it's supposed to look here. I think they had to wait maybe 12, 15 days or something like that to let the asphalt cure before they put the color on. So that'll start looking better too. And that's all.
Yeah, I saw that the fences are up and everything, so I was wondering what was left. But so apparently we're waiting for the surface to be put on, then maybe we'll get some pickleball in yet this year. Okay.
That's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, very good. Thank you very much. Our Safety Service Director, Steve Wheeler, plans on joining us tonight if he can, but Kristen Inslee is here and in his place, and so she might be available to answer any questions you might have. Kristen, do you have anything for us tonight?
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have a quick report. Mr. Mosley mentioned the project updates for OPWC. The other projects going on, Dominion has finishing up restoration on West Chestnut Street, and then once they're finished, then North Star will go in after them and start doing the street repairs. And then they're also will begin replacing the substation on Sassafras, and that is also a Dominion project. Unless there's any questions, that's all I have. Thank you.
Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mrs. Inslee, is it possible, I wanted to add, I know Mr. Wheeler has been talking about and been working a little bit on the final phase of the sidewalks. I was curious if he could kind of update us and add that to the, with the other three items that he's working on, to update us on the 15th, or it could be later, it could be after that. I just know that at some point he wanted to meet and talk about it, but if you could just add that as one of those items, that would be awesome. And if you need a later date, then a 15th, that's fine.
I think the 15th will be fine. I know that we have engineering associates working on getting us an engineer's estimate and looking at what streets would be included in that sidewalk installation phase. So that, awesome. I don't think that should be a problem to add that to the list as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. Very good. We will move on then to our utilities director and Jeff Bettinger. Mr. Bettinger, how are you tonight?
Doing fine, Mr. President. Thank you. I just have one brief comment. If you've driven by the power plant today, you may have noticed some activity stirring. We do have the entire facility up today out of caution. AEP is doing some planned maintenance work on the transmission line feeding into our community. Not expecting any problems, but in the event things don't go their way, the plant has its generation matched to our load today through Wednesday or Thursday this week. So just up for that preemptive opportunity to minimize or limit any kind of interruption while AEP is doing some work. That's all I have tonight. I do have some comments related to the resolution under new business. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. If there are no questions, we'll move on to our finance director, Janice Kremlin. Welcome, Janet.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple updates for council this evening. We are working through the RFP process with the Auditor of State's office for the 2020 through 2022 audit. Five public accounting firms have been selected to participate in the process. There will be a pre-proposal conference on September 30th. During the meeting, we'll try and answer any questions about the city or the utilities concerning the engagement before the final technical and cost proposals are submitted on October 15th. After the submissions are received, we'll be evaluating the firms based on pre-established criteria that the Auditor of State's office sets up, and then we'll be coming back to council with legislation to enter into a contract with the chosen firm. I also wanted to give you an update on the CARES Act funding. Since we last met, we received an additional $124,000. So in total, we have a little over $372,000 now. We do expect to receive one additional payment. After that, we'll be bringing another appropriations amendment to council for your approval. An update on our income tax collection. Through the month of August, we're down approximately 1.8% when compared to 2019, but we are on target when we compare it to our budget that we established for 2020, so that's good to know. And the last thing I have in the council packet that was provided by Jean Galt, I had fund balance statements for July and August of 2020. I just would ask that council approve these reports subject to audit.
All right, very good. So we need a motion to approve the fund balance report subject to audit.
I'll make that motion.
Very good. Mr. Wilson moves.
Second.
And second for Mrs. Whitmer.
Aspiris.
Yes.
Lorson. Lorson.
You're muted, sir.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Boy.
Yes.
Whitmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwork?
Yes.
All eyes.
All right, thank you very much. And then we'll move on to our law director, Mrs. Cheryl Kirkbride. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. In response to Mr. Spears' comment, we are working on the substitute legislation to rescind and replace the legislation with respect to the fire vehicle replacement fund. We have submitted a draft to the state to review just to make sure that we have the proper wording. So we didn't have it quite in time for tonight, so we're hoping to have it for our next meeting as an update to that. We also received word from the auditor's office that the Sunshine Law training that we have coming up is going to have to be done a different way. So I will bring more news to that. Not surprising, we're not going to be able to meet in person for the scheduled meeting, so it will probably be a virtual meeting, and we'll probably go ahead and reschedule something in person for the spring, hoping optimistically that we'll be able to meet at that time. So I'll bring more information about that at our next meeting, probably.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that report. For my report tonight, just to share a little thing, I happen to notice on Google Maps, somehow the reviews for our park came up in my search results. And so it was great to read There's a lot of reviews on Google about our park, Orr Park, and boy, I tell you, it was neat to see all the comments that were there and how much people appreciate our park and its facilities. And so I decided to want to say a word of thanks to those of you who take time to leave a comment there to help spread the word. And it's just it was great to see. So thank you very much. That's all I have. And so we can move on now to old business. And we'll turn to Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 2720, I move this resolution be placed on second reading. I'll second.
All right, second. Mr. Spiros.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
All right, thank you.
Resolution 2720, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control of the City of Orrville, Ohio to enter into a contract with Kimball Recycling and Disposal Incorporated, competitively bid by the City of Woodview, Ohio for refuse collection and disposal and curbside recycling services and declaring an emergency.
All right, we have discussed this as a council. I'll just very briefly review. And then we'll have some time for discussion. But in the past, the city has piggybacked onto the trash contract of another community, usually a larger community. And so in this case, we are looking at piggybacking onto the contract of the City of Worcester. And so council has had a chance to review that, and we had a discussion about that here in recent weeks. And so we thought it was appropriate now to bring in a representative from Kimball. And so we have with us Julie Monroy, who is here to offer any comments that she might have and is available for our questions. And so, Julie, I think I'll just turn it over to you here for a moment to you know, ask you to share anything that you might have with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you to everyone for giving me an opportunity to come on and speak with all of you. As you know, your contract's ending at the end of the year, so at the beginning of actually 2020, we began working with Steve to try to look for some opportunities to potentially do a shared service agreement or a piggyback agreement off of another community. And Worcester ended up going out to bid, and our pricing with Worcester was extremely competitive. I've shared that information with Steve and with the mayor. For example, we came in for the first year at $15.05, and our competition came in, the closest one was Rumpke at $17.07, and Republic was at $19.35. So we're very confident in the price that we have there. The agreement is very similar to the contract that you currently have. There are some differences, but overall, I think it's very close and a good opportunity for the City of Orrville. So we presented that and put together some books for you guys, kind of outlining what a shared service agreement is, what the benefits were, and of course, with, you know, with Kimball, we've been around for 50 years here locally. We started with a coal truck and a shovel here in Dover, Ohio. We've grown over the years. We've got almost 1,000 employees now throughout the state of Ohio. And we're getting ready to open our fifth and sixth transfer stations here throughout different locations within Ohio. So, you know, we feel it's been a great partnership. I talked to our operations team. Working with Orrville has been great. Actually, our operations manager is Dave Hostetler, who is also an Orrville resident and takes Orrville very seriously. He cherry picks our drivers for that area and makes sure that, you know, when he goes to the grocery store or the football game on Friday, that you guys are all happy. So, you know, we want to keep that service going. We want to continue to do a good job for you guys. So hopefully I can answer any questions that you guys might have and be able to hopefully get an answer for you tonight.
All right, what questions do you have for Julie regarding our new proposed contract? Mr. Wilson.
I do have one question, and you may not have gone through this process, but comparatively, if we did not piggyback, is there any indication description of what kind of pricing we would be looking at for a community our size?
Yeah, so if I look at this contract as Worcester being so similar with pricing, if you were to do something similar to what you are now, in comparison, you're probably looking, I mean, Rumpke came in at the 1707 to 1935 in comparison to our 1502. So I'd say the average of that being around $17, that's probably around where you would probably be.
Okay, I understood that to be Worcester going out to bid and getting that price, and they're a larger community, so I thought maybe it would even be north of that.
Yeah, well, the way that your contract's set up now is a little bit differently, so I would assume that you guys might consider changing that if you did go out to bid. So, for example, right now you guys have a monthly fee of that $9.56 per month, and then you get a tonnage fee on top of that. And then there's also a possibility for a fuel surcharge. But with Worcester, you know, if you did a contract similar, you would probably, we would probably recommend trying to do something closer to a flat rate each year, so you know exactly what you're going to be paying for. The only reason that it's set up that way is because it was a piggyback agreement off of Newburgh Heights the last time that you guys went out to bid. So, you know, and overall, I think, too, the $13.11 that you guys roughly pay now, I'm estimating to be around there. The $15.02 is really just a cost of living increase. As well as a little bit there we could save for recycling, because recycling market has changed so drastically over the last, you know, 2-3 years. So I still think that 1502 is really good. Now, can I say that you would get that price if you would go out to a competitive bid? I can't. It just depends on what the bid specs say. I also will say that it probably would increase a little bit because the municipal services that you guys provide would, in this contract, they're not covered. They would be paid for by the city. However, with a contract that you guys would propose, probably would be built in, so it'd be a little bit higher.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I hope that helped.
Yes, Mr. Mosley.
Yes, Julie. Just a couple of questions. Actually, just one. I've just had about a handful. For the most part, I think Kimmel does a really good job with our refuge around here. Just had a couple of handfuls about, obviously, and it's going to be an issue everywhere. It's just trash in the streets and all that kind of stuff. If you could just kind of address what that process is like. Obviously, you know, between us councilmen and the mayor, we give them a Kimmel phone number to call, you know, with the customer service. And then can you just kind of walk and kind of explain the customer service on your end once the constituent calls that 1-800 number?
Yeah, so when they call 800 number, our call service center is actually located in Dover, Ohio. And they're able to take whatever that issue is, and they can communicate directly to our operations. And hopefully we're still in the area and can swing back by and see where the issue might be. We've done some things in addition to what we typically would do for the city of Orville. We've added what we call a fly swatter on the front of our truck so that when they do go to dump, it's going to hopefully keep a lot of that material in. We do seem to get more complaints in like the Orville area. I'm not sure if there's a wind that comes through there or what it is, but we seem to have some issues. But I will say the drivers that we have there are cherry-picked and are picked by date for you guys. So we know that we've got a good crew in there, and if there's any issues, we try to handle it quickly. I know we work very closely with Steve and the mayor for anything that's come across my desk. But our goal is to get in and get out, hopefully not even be noticed and not have anything left behind. So any issues that come up, we'll continue to address, but our goal is to not have any issues at all, of course.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Like I said, for the most part, you guys do a really good job, even with the responding, but just wanted to see how it actually looks behind the scenes besides me just, hey, call this number.
That's it. Yeah, they do a great job of communicating. We have a system that will even alert straight to the trucks as the driver's going through town, okay. The message can come up. They also have phones within the truck, so if we need to, the driver can safely pull over and speak to our operations team.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Yes, yeah. Mr. Spiros.
Thank you, Mr. President. Julia, I know the answers to this, but I was hoping maybe you could kind of just say it one more time for the citizens that will be watching this broadcast.
Sure.
Aside from the change with the finances, what are some of those key changes that our citizens are going to see between when our old contract expires and when the new one?
Yeah, so take. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kind of run through a few of them here real quick. So for example, the contract that you guys are coming off of, it was a 5-year contract with a 1-year extension, which is what we're finishing right now, is that 1-year extension. With the new contract, it would be a 5-year contract as well. There would be 3 1-year extensions available to the city. So you could extend it a couple more years past that. It's all done at mutual agreement, so we would just discuss that, you know, between Kimball and Oroville, and you guys can make a decision if that's what you'd like to do at that time. Currently, you guys can basically leave anything that you like out at the curb. It's a lot of material, and there's not very many contracts out there these days that actually have a no limit. So with the Worcester contract, it's still a really large limit that can be put out. You basically have the contents of your 96-gallon cart, and in addition to that, you can leave up to 8 30-gallon cans or bags next to the cart, so you can line the curb strip with that. And then in addition to that, we still have that weekly recycling with a 65-gallon cart. So that portion will stay the same. The bulk items would be, with this new contract, picked up once per month. So if you have a refrigerator or a couch or a mattress, something like that that you need to get rid of, you can leave that at the curb one time per month, and we'll be glad to take that at no additional charge. Let's see here. Another thing that might be different, I mean, it's different things. It's more like for the city, like the performance bonds, just there's a different variance there. The municipal services, there'd be a difference there as well. But all the recyclables and all those items that we typically collect, those are all going to stay the same. Now, I will say, if there is a situation where there's a lot more material that a resident does need to get rid of, we have, we'll give competitive pricing to that resident if they wanted to get like a roll-off or something brought to their home or a special pickup, that we can take off any, you know, additional material that might be there. And the other issue I would say that we're working through is that the new contract actually says that we could come in at 6:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., but we're going to stay, if this was to be approved, with that 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. time frame, because we know that's important with noise ordinances and situations like that. So we're going to go ahead and accommodate and just stick with the similar time frame that we have now.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mr. President, Julie, while we have the ear of some people that are watching and will see this later, as you know, recycling has been near my heart for years. And I think if people have watched the news the last year or two, there will be many skeptics right now that say, well, they're not even recycling that stuff. Can you explain to us what is done? And also, I think maybe this is a good time to mention to people there are some differences in recycling. In other words, things have to be clean. We can't just throw anything in there as dirty as we want to and expect it to get recycled like it used to.
No, absolutely. You know, the market has changed so much in the last few years. It used to be that we would tell people, you know, throw it all into the bin and we'll sort it out. But China basically changed the rules and has decided that we can only send material as an industry that has less than 0.05% contamination. So you can imagine 0.05% is nearly impossible to reach. So we have to work really hard as a company, as an industry, to try to educate people on the right way to do it. And the mayor is right. It's really important that, like, if you have a dirty peanut butter jar, for example, or maybe a shampoo bottle, if you're not willing to take a few seconds and rinse that out before putting it into the bin, really it's just garbage and it's just it's contaminating the load. So same with pizza boxes. Cardboard, of course, we want that. We recommend, you know, you send that to us. But we don't want your styrofoam inside or your peanuts, anything like that. We definitely don't want the greasy pizza box, because that's a food contaminant that is actually not recyclable. It needs to be thrown into the garbage. So I have two jobs. I work with municipalities, but I also am the marketing director at Kimball. So my job is to help communicate a lot of that message and trying to share the right way to recycle. So we have a lot of information on our Facebook page and our website that we recommend residents check out. And if you guys have any questions, of course, you can ask your questions right there on social media. I know the city sometimes will tag us if there's a question that pops up that they don't know the answer to. But we'd rather people ask than just guess. I always use the example of like a pen. It's plastic, and I want to be a good recycler, so I might think to throw it into my recycle bin. But when it's going down the line, it can break open, and then ink can spread everywhere, contaminating the load. So if you're not sure if it's recyclable or not, and you're not sure if it's on the list of approved items, just throw it into the trash. And again, if you're not willing to take the time to clean it, it's better in the trash than in the recycle bin.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's good. I didn't know that. So, good stuff. All right. Yes, Carrie.
Hi, Julie. So in addition to what we could do as residents to improve recycling, is there anything we can do as residents to improve the trash pickup and the blowing of the trash problem?
Yeah, I mean, trash in general, we really want it to be bagged, especially right now with COVID going on. We've got a lot of, like, you know, gloves and masks and medical waste. You know, we really want to try to have everything tied up and tied up tightly. So also it helps our drivers. The more material you can fit into your cart, the better. The less handling that they have to do, that's obviously better for our side to keep our drivers safe, which is very important. So I think those are really the two big things, is just trying to make sure everything is bagged. And then when I think of trash too, I also think of like the bulk items. If you have anything that is upholstered, especially like a mattress, we require those to be covered in plastic and sealed before we'll take them. And the reason for that is it's across the board. We don't single anybody out. Everyone has to do this. But bed bugs has become such an issue. And for our trucks, you know, it can infest our trucks. It can also infest our driver. And then we have a driver down and we have a truck down. And so it's just better all the way across the board, just have everyone make sure it's wrapped and sealed so that we can get that material back to the landfill safely without any issues.
Thank you. And then just one more quick question. It sounds like to the resident, this has potential to be pretty seamless to them outside of the bit of the cost change. Do you foresee, it sounds like the timing should stay the same. Do you think the days for the residents will stay the same as well?
Yeah, so we probably won't change anything with the days. I think we're going to try to make this as easy as possible for everyone and as least confusing as possible. And hopefully the only change they'll really see will be what would be on the bill. And we'll do our best to work with the city and try to make this as easy as possible for everybody.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was one thing, too, I learned recently. If you have a mattress, I guess you can get the mattress bags at City Hall.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. So I had to order mine on Amazon last time, and who knew? So
yeah, you can get them at Amazon or Lowe's or something, but we've made it easy for people to just stop down here and buy them at City Hall.
It's a great service. We don't see a lot of municipalities doing that, so that's nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mr. President, I have one last question, if that's
yes,
nice.
Mr. Hibbert.
Since Julie's taking the time to join our meeting, which I appreciate, I just wanted to ask for clarification on the quote-unquote piggyback of the contract. Are there other cities that we could explore piggybacking a contractor? What does that look like?
Yes.
As far as what we can connect with?
Yeah. Basically, what a piggyback is, or a shared service agreement is, it's the Ohio Revised Code, section 9.48, basically permits a political subdivision to participate in another contract from another political subdivision. And this can be for equipment. So let's say you have a police cruiser that you've purchased. Maybe Canal Fulton is interested in the police cruiser and you get a great price, so they might piggyback off of that. It can also be for material. It can be for supplies, and it can be for services like Kimball. So, you know, we've done this quite a bit, and so has our competition. This isn't a new thing. There's a lot of different municipalities and different services that do this. But I provided for you guys in section 2 of that book a bunch of examples of different piggyback agreements that we've done. I think there might even be something in there about the Newburgh Heights and Orville piggyback that you guys are currently getting ready to end. So, but yeah, we tried to give you guys some examples just to show it's not a new thing. This is something that has been done many times. And then I just might add, you know, kind of how this works is basically that the city of Orville would pass an ordinance or a resolution saying that you're interested in Worcester's contract. And then either the mayor or Steve will send a letter to Worcester requesting to be able to you know, share in that agreement. They'll reply with a yes, which we basically have heard from them that they're willing to help. And then you guys, actually Kimball would prepare a contract, which we have. That's actually in section 3 for you. We try to get that step done ahead of time. And following approval, approval and execution, we would begin service on January 1st under the new contract and work together to make that an easy transition.
So if someone had a contract at $1,450 per unit and we're at $15 and some change, is that something that, is there any other hidden fees that we should know about, or is it simply a unit fee or a tonnage on top of that?
There's no tonnage fee. It would just be a flat fee that does increase a little bit with cost of living each year, but that's outlined in the contract, so there's no surprises. The only thing I would say just, you know, up front is that if there is a solid waste district fee or a state fee that would come up, which doesn't happen hardly ever, but if it did, what we do is we don't build that in and inflate our costs to, like, prepare for something that hasn't happened. We do pass that dollar for dollar on if something happens. So our goal is to keep our prices as low as possible unless there's a reason. And so it's kind of written in there. It's written almost in most contracts to allow us to pass that along. That way we can keep the prices low up front.
Thank you. Thanks for putting the booklet together.
Yeah, no problem. I hope it helps.
It's no small task, let me tell you. All right. Yes, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Julie, for coming and answering all of our questions tonight. It's a very thorough handout that you gave us, the booklet, and I appreciate your knowledge in all of this. I wanted to pass along, too, that a few years ago, with our eye on reduction and recycling, we moved to electronic paperwork, let's say, for all meetings and whatnot. So I wanted to let you know that the next time that we do this, you can send this whole thing to us as a PDF.
And, that's perfect. Okay, next time I will do that for sure.
But I really do appreciate, I mean, all the information is here, and you've done an outstanding job of letting us know what we need to know.
That's very nice. I appreciate that. I want to make it easy for you guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your pleasure? Do you want to go ahead and have another reading on this? I don't think we're in a hurry on it.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Larson.
If I may, I believe that we set this second reading, you know, in the hopes that in the meantime, in the 2 weeks between the two meetings, that we receive any comment from the public if they wish to comment, because we know that this is something that people deal with every day and every week. I think we've had our questions answered tonight. I can't
Mr. Larson, I'm going to interrupt you for just a moment because we have Steve Wheeler just now entering our meeting.
Hey.
So let's give him a chance to make a comment here.
Okay.
Yeah. So nothing like saying you're on as soon as you show up. Hello, Mr. Wheeler.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. We were just wrapping up our discussion here with Julie Monroy from Kimball, and I think I know where Mr. Larson was going, perhaps a discussion of suspending the rules to, pass this resolution tonight. But since I saw you were dialing in, I thought I would just give you a moment here and just put you on the spot. if you have any further comments for our consideration or for this discussion.
I don't believe so. Definitely still available to answer questions. I think, if possible, approval tonight would allow the City of Worcester to move forward on what they'll have to do and give them ample time. So if Council's comfortable with moving forward with approval, I think that would be a good thing.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for that. And Mr. Morse, I'll let you continue.
Thank you. In light of that, and continuing on with what I was saying before, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second that.
Mr. Mosley seconds.
Mosley?
Oh, you're muted, Mrs. Gall.
Sorry about that. Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
If I have a concern and I wanted this to go three readings, would I simply say no?
That's fine, yeah. you know, ideally we would have a moment for discussion, and yeah, you're certainly welcome to vote no. That's perfectly fine. And we can also do what we call a motion to reconsider. And that is after the motion passes, someone from who had an affirmative vote can say, we'd like to move to reconsider. And that would simply say, hey, let's vote on this at another, you know, a future meeting if you'd like more time. And that's an option as well. If this motion passes and if council would like to reconsider and vote again, that's fine, or they may feel comfortable with the decision they're making tonight. So that, of course, would be another motion after we have voted. So, yeah, you can record your vote as no or record your comments now, however you choose.
Yeah, I would vote no, hopefully with the option to reconsider with the team here.
Okay, very good. Then we can continue.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. So we did raise that possibility. If someone would like to make a motion to reconsider, again, it has to be someone who voted yes with the group that passed the measure. Otherwise, we'll continue on and let the vote stand. And actually, all we're doing is voting no on suspending the rules. Yeah. So I just want to make that clarification. Yes, Mr. Spears.
Am I allowed to ask just for the reason, or would I have to just make that motion right now?
I will defer to Cheryl. I can't remember if that motion is allowed to have discussion or not. I imagine it has to. A motion to reconsider, is discussion allowed on that? I think there is.
I don't know any differently that it wouldn't be.
Yeah, okay, very good. Yes, we can have discussion on that.
Okay, I must have missed it. Mr. Hanrick, what was the reasoning, just so I know where you're coming from, that's all.
Yes, so I guess possibly clarification on my end before we move forward with it. Looking at other agreements that we could possibly piggyback if we can get acceptance through other cities. I believe South Euclid has an agreement of 1487 that was a 5-year deal from May 29th, I believe with Kimball. So I don't know if that's within our rights to ask to piggyback a different agreement, but I would like to discuss that and take this, the full three readings at least.
One moment, Mr. Mosley. This is an unusual situation for us to have a discussion kind of in between motions here, so I want to defer to Mrs. Kirkbride and make sure that we follow the proper procedures here parliamentarily wise. At what point can we have this kind of discussion?
So we've just voted to suspend the rules.
That's correct.
And then the motion now, the next motion will be to pass or not.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know specifically. The discussion is not permitted. I know it's getting a little bit confusing in between these motions, as you mentioned. But
Mr. President, I would motion that we reconsider.
Okay, Mr. Mosley moves to reconsider.
I'll second.
And second, Mr. Spears.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, very good. So what that essentially means is that the motion to suspend the rules now has been defeated. I think that's the proper term. Don't think this has ever happened before. So I'm always checking myself here with Mrs. Kirkbride to make sure we're following the proper procedure. All right, very good. We can move on then with our agenda. Mr. Lorson.
Thank you. This is new business. Ordinance C-20. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good.
Ordinance C-20, an ordinance amending section 931.07 of chapter 931 of the codified ordinances of the city of Orrville, Ohio, relating to the rates for garbage and rubbish collection.
All right, very good. I guess I'll turn to Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah.
What, go
this
ahead.
This ordinance, if we move forward with the Kimball contract, and just to be very clear, Kimball doesn't have, Kimball still has to allow us to piggyback on someone else's contract. So we can't just pick and choose and try to find the lowest rate in the state and say, all right, this is the one we want. So we'll have to discuss that with them and take a look at the, I believe it was the Elyria, the South Euclid contract, and see what that looks like. But this, assuming that council moves forward with the contract, will stabilize the rate for a period of 5 years and allow us to collect a little bit ahead of time, but then on the back end, but obviously would make a little less, but would have the money in the fund already. So it assumes, again, that we approve the contract with Kimball at the rate proposed. And it does not need to be approved tonight, obviously. It just kind of piggybacks the other contract as well, or the other resolution, sorry.
Okay. So I think essentially, if I might summarize Mr. Henwerk's position here, was, hey, I've got another contract out there that was $14.50 instead of $15. So he's wondering if it's possible to piggyback onto that contract rather than on the city of Worcester. Is that correct, Mr. Handwerk?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Just looking for clarification.
Okay. Very good. Is that something the administration would like? Okay, yes, Mr. Mayor.
One other thing, and maybe Julie could answer this, but it could be that South Euclid contract is entirely different than what Worcester has, which is similar to what we have now. For example, a lot of places are only picking up recyclables once a month instead of every week or bi-monthly. So we don't know exactly what that contract consists of other than it's cheaper right now.
See, they're picking up 5 days a week as part of that contract as well.
Yeah, I think in addition to that, I was just looking. What my notes here say for South Euclid is that it's $14.87 per unit. But in addition to that, there might be a tonnage fee, I don't cover that territory. I cover the South, so I'm not super familiar with their contract. I will say though that their contract does have quite a few years still left. But what we do internally is we go back and we go through all of our current contracts that have a long term left, and what we do is we run numbers with your current contract just to see where we would fall, to make sure that we're in a healthy position. And I can tell you, we were pretty close to not being in a healthy position with the Worcester contract. So I don't know if we have room to go down that far or to even make that contract work or what kind of changes that would be. We'd have to go through a whole process to see. But, I'm happy to go back and talk with our team and see if they can take a look at it. And then any discussion or, whatever comes of that, I can share that with Steve, and he can share that with all of you. And I'm happy to come back to next council as well if needed.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, very good. We'll let the administration have that discussion with you, Julie, and I know that that Worcester is involved, and there's some other steps here involved too, and so we can't take, an inordinate amount of time here to reconsider which contract we would piggyback onto. So I think it'd be something about, hey, let's check and see, and if not, my sense is this body is ready to move forward with this contract. We do appreciate that double check there.
Sure.
And then we can certainly, we'll come back to this then in our next meeting. So.
No problem. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Thank you. Very good. Then I assume then we'll let this this resolution, or no, this is an ordinance, go on until our next meeting then as well. And so then, Mr. Larson, we can move on to the next resolution.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 3020. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
A second.
I believe I heard a second first from Mr. Mosley.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good, thank you.
Resolution 3020, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the State of Ohio Purchasing Cooperative Department of Administrative Services to purchase one 2020 or 2021 Dodge Ram 1500 Tradesman, or alternatively, to purchase said vehicle from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, or alternatively, to advertise for bids and enter into an agreement and or agreements for said purchase and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. Mr. Wheeler, do you have anything to share for us on this?
As I mentioned in my memo to council, this would replace Dan Lau's vehicle. I know a couple of council members have either met with him or rode in it, so they can attest the quality of the vehicle as we speak. It's well over 150,000 miles, so we've definitely gotten the life out of it. It's constantly in and out of the shop, and I just personally speaking, I don't know that it represents the city well when he pulls up in it. Has kind of really no room for what he needs in regards to some of the work that he does with the typical tools he uses. So I would recommend that we move forward with the purchase. This is in the capital budget. Most likely we will go with the state bid. We've already reached out to some local dealerships, and they are not do not look like they're going to be able to match it, because it has to be an apples-to-apples type transaction. So be glad to answer any questions.
Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to just add comments to it. This is the vehicle that Dan drives. I meet with Dan at least once a week, and typically this is, I can attest, I rode in his vehicle. I see it every time he pulls up in his hoopty. And obviously, Dan is one of those guys who he does his due diligence on everything. He even compared, the Dodge and the Chevrolet and the Chevy. The Chevy was more expensive, so we went with the Dodge. So, I mean, this is something where I think obviously it's in a budget and it's time. I would be okay if I seen us go the first route, because you're right, it does look bad with him pulling up that vehicle that he's in. That's in and out of the shop, costing us money. So then I'll pass, Mr. President.
Very good. Any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, I'll turn to Mr. Larson.
Mr. President, given that we have budgeted for this truck and we've heard of the need for a replacement vehicle for Mr. Love for many months, even years, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
I believe I heard the second from Mr. Handwerk.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good.
I move resolution 3020 be adopted as read.
Second.
Mrs. Whitmer seconds.
Asparis?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, very good. Mr. Larson.
Resolution 3120. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
I'll second.
I believe there's a second for Mr. Spiras.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you.
Resolution 3120, a resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding with American Municipal Power for the purchase of 3 1.875 kilowatt used diesel generation units to be placed at the city's wastewater treatment facility and declaring an emergency.
All right, very good. Mr. Berger, we'll turn to you for any comments you have for us.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I did send out a letter to City Council last week. Let me just go over some of the background information and then I'll answer any questions that you may have. We have the opportunity to purchase 3 used diesel generator units. I do need to make a clarification. These are 1.875 megawatts. That should be an MW and not a KW there. My apologies for not picking up on that typo. Regardless, we had mentioned this in a few council conversations. Certainly, the past couple budgets, we've been talking about it. And last week, the utility board did approve a resolution. To give you a little bit of background, these units are currently located at the wastewater treatment facility. They are owned and operated by AMP. We just leased them. The property, and we do enjoy some limited use benefits of those units with restrictions if AMP or the members of that particular project aren't using those. The project has ended, and they are looking at getting rid of these units, and they usually offer those to members that was involved in the project or other AMP members to go out and sell these. The concept behind the utility's interest in these units is a couple-fold. One, they are part of our strategy to look at eventually replacing or supplementing the older coal-fired units. These 3 diesel generators a combined total is about half the size of our older coal unit that we bring up when we bring the 3 units up to do peak shavings. To fast forward a little bit, the other half of that strategy in the future is looking at additional diesel or gas units of another 5 megawatts in capacity that would totally replace the smallest of our units, and we'll be talking about that particular part later on and next year and years to come. But these are a part of a 2-pronged approach to look at replacing some generation. They're again a good fit. We would use these like we're using the plant today. For peaking in emergencies. They can also be used to black start the plant. And what I mean by that is in the event that we are not generating and the our tie line goes down, these units have enough capacity for us to start up the smallest unit at the power plant, and then eventually, given enough time, be able to start up the entire facility in the event of a grid failure. So they do play that, or will be playing that role for us. These are very well maintained, very reliable units. I'll add that. They operate in the neighborhood of only 50 hours a year. Again, their purpose in life is for peak shaving and emergencies. They're roughly 20 years old. We have had our environmental legal consultants look at this from a permitting perspective. We find no problems with this. Actually, the EPA permit can just be transferred over in our name, and we could roll on with the same EPA permit that's already in place. We've also had consultants look at this project from a cost perspective. When we were first approached with this opportunity about a year ago, we were looking at budgeting a price of over $1 million for these. The price that's being thrown out there is just a little south of $850,000. The proposal from AMP includes the purchase of these units and all the equipment out there, the transformer, the double-lined diesel fuel tank, all the equipment, switchgear, things along that line. And it does allow us to enter into an O&M agreement, which we have some interest in, until we get a better feel for whether or not our own personnel can maintain these units, or we would look for doing that maintenance work with a possible third party. We have we do have these this project included in our utility reserve fund. Again, it's something that we've been planning on looking at for the past couple of years, and finally came around to offer us a proposal that fits in with the board's thinking for some longer term planning. With that, I'll happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Mr. President?
Yes.
We will need a motion to amend the title of the resolution to change that to a megawatt, and also into section one where it says kilowatt.
All right, very good. So we need to be specific in our language there. So just to make sure, all I'm looking at is the agenda, Gene. And so so we need to, Mr. Morrison is ready to, I think, enter in here. And so we just need to make sure we need to make the motion with the correct language, and then we'll have to pass that. Yeah.
Yes. Mr. President, I move that we amend the title of the resolution and section one and any other sections where we mistakenly refer to the generators as kilowatt rather than megawatt.
All right, does that meet with your approval, Mrs. Kirkbride?
It does. I was pulling out the rules of council as we were talking here. So yes, it's a single subject for the amendment, which is the correction of the measure, so that's fine.
Okay. And then we need a second, right? And then we need to...
Then we'll vote on it. That's correct, yes.
I'll second.
All right. You got me again, Lisa, so Mr. Spears seconds.
Mosley?
Yes.
Boy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Motion passes to amend.
All right, very good. Now we're ready to move on to the main. Yes, Mr.
Yeah, thank you for that change. Just to put that into perspective, that electrical rating just changed it from your garage home on the generator up to a big boy generator. So, I apologize for not missing that or catching that.
Yeah, you do.
I think, Jeff, that you might have heard the pause when I was first reading it, because I thought, that seems off. I'm glad I
All right, very good. We are ready to move on then to the main motion.
Okay. I know that this issue has been discussed at the Board of Public Utilities numerous times. I've been a party to those discussions. I know this is actually a critical thing for us to have with that that blackout startup situation. It's something, kind of a key element that we would be missing if these went away. And they're right in our backyard right now. I think this was a very good deal. That being said, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
All right, second. Mr. Mosley.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Good, thank you.
I move resolution 3120 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second. Mrs. Widmer.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, thank you. That concludes the agenda for our meeting tonight. Before we adjourn, do we have any comments for the good of the order? Yes, Mr. Larson.
Thank you. I would like to thank the Wayne County Region, or the Wayne County Fire and Rescue Regional Training Facility, their staff, all the volunteers that worked together to put on the Feel the Heat program. Councilwoman Foy and I attended that on Saturday, and it was an outstanding in-person representation of a little bit of what our firefighters and first responders go through, the training they go through. It showcased an incredible facility that's built up steadily over 30 years right in our backyard in Apple Creek. I've always had a lot of respect for our firefighters, and I think that speaking for myself and Mrs. Foy, I think that's amplified now to have actually, done some of the things that they do. So thank you to that facility and everybody that made that possible, and to my colleagues. If you haven't had an opportunity to go through that, they offer it, every year or every other year. By golly, you need to take them up on it. It's really something.
I second that. It was phenomenal. It was just a literal once-in-a-lifetime experience for myself.
Well, good. It's good when we're passing resolutions and budgets and all that stuff and training for all these guys, it's good to put yourself in their shoes for a little bit, so we appreciate you doing that. Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Spiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just two quick things. The first is just another thank you to Julie for coming and speaking with us and answering our questions. I really did appreciate that, and I think our citizens will appreciate that as well. And the second item, you're welcome. The second item, I hope this hasn't changed since Mr. Wheeler and I spoke, but I've had a few more people ask me this week as well And the city does plan on still holding a citywide trick-or-treat in October unless things were to change, and that would limit us from doing so. And that's it.
Yeah, all right. Very good. Mr. Wheeler, is that still on? All that's going, all those plans are going forward?
Yes, sir. I still obviously want to finalize those plans with the mayor, make sure that we're on the same page there. But so long as the governor doesn't do any significant restrictions or not allow that this year, my plan is to move forward with that. You know, my thought, honestly, is the kids already have masks on, so there's that part, and it's volunteer. You know, if citizens don't feel comfortable with participating, they just don't have to turn their lights on that particular night. So
I tell you, hopefully this year it'll be bigger and better than ever. You know, we need something like that.
The kids sure need it, that's for sure.
Yep. All right, anything else? Well, very good. We will I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. President, I move we adjourn.
Very well.
Second.
I have a second from Mrs. Foy.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Lorson.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Very good. All right, the Parks and Recreation Committee will meet next Monday at 6:45. And that'll be on Zoom. You'll be getting that invite. And then our next regular scheduled council meeting then is for October 5th. Until then, we are adjourned. Have a good evening. Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.